The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, we'll try to work in some sports today. We'll just have to see how it goes. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. Jerry Bow filling in for A.J. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At Jerry Bow Knows with a Z. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to watch us on Twitch, I don't know why you wouldn't unless you want to see Jerry because he's a handsome. You don't definitely don't want to see me. Then watch us on the Twitch channel. Way in there. It'll all be good. And it's a Monday. Interesting weekend, to say the least. Hope everybody's all right. What's going on, Mr. Bo?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys? Long weekend. A lot of ruckus. A lot of craziness. We're going to get into it some. A lot of poker. That's always a good thing. Some horse racing. We'll have a little bit of talk about that. But it's really good to get in here and see you guys, man. Sometimes you just want to see people and get away from social media and everything that's going on as far as negative-wise. So I'm glad to see you guys. Blitzers, we meet again. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to have to get to some of this stuff. And I want to get to some of this stuff because I do have a few things to say about it. But we're not going to, you know, we're not going to let it dominate the show unless that's what you guys want. So we're also going to talk about the famous Tombstone article that Jake Kaplan wrote for The Athletic that he interviewed me for. And Josh Jordan basically emailed me and said, well, why don't you write about this since you did it? And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Really, 15 years later, people still care about that damn thing. It amazes me. So we'll talk to Jake. Plus, we'll get a little update on what's going on with baseball, which my other article was basically baseball can suck it. But yeah, we need to get into what's going on in the world as well. So Lance will join us. We'll mix it up today. But you know, if you guys want to get in with something, you definitely can. And Jerry, talk for a second while I change chairs because somebody has this chair at like a foot high. And I don't want to mess with the microphone.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what's happened this weekend as far as, man. And I'm just laying out the ground here because I know Fred told me, hey, I want to talk about some specific things. So I'm going to lay out the ground. We know some craziness is going on in the world. We know that there's been separation more than we've ever been separated in life. It comes at the worst possible time, in my opinion, with everything else going on with the virus. And I think that the added element of people being desperate, some people having lost things, and then this comes along. I think it was the worst possible timing, but like Fred and I were speaking before the show, we feel that it's got to start somewhere. And I'm just going to lay out the ground like that and let's open it up because I know that people are out there listening saying, man, these guys got to talk about it. And we're not going to run from it.
Well, I'm hopefully going to give you guys a different perspective on this thing. And, you know, bear with me. We'll get to the penis jokes. We'll get to all the gambling. We'll get to all that stuff. But just humor me for a couple minutes here because look, we all know what happened this weekend, and I've never been a person that's going to carry a sign or march. I've always respected those who do, but it's not for me. And I hate violence, I hate vandalism, I hate looting, but I sure understand that peaceful solutions have failed us. And when you look at the history of this country, the only thing that changes it is revolution. And sometimes that does mean things get broken. And so I had a weird experience this weekend because I live very close to downtown, actually in downtown technically, and on my side of downtown, nothing. We're less than a mile away from everything that's going on, the vandalism. My wife's office building had windows broken and stuff like that, but we're less than a mile away, and we're just watching the helicopters, and it's a half-white guilt thing, but I'm sitting at the bar Saturday with my friends, and we're even joking about it. Well, we're just you know, everything's going on and it's less than a mile away. And here we are just enjoying life and having drinks and playing poker on my phone. Won a tournament. And, you know, just doing being normal. And it's kind of like, you know what, man? I kind of feel like I'm part of the problem because I felt isolated. I felt like, you know what? It just that's not my business. Just sitting back and watching. And that's just wrong. And I did get out that night, and about 9:30, I went to a gas station to pick some stuff up. And when I pulled in, there were a bunch of cops there. And I don't know if you guys have seen the video on Twitter yet, but that was where the SUV actually hit a police officer. I'm told the police officer's fine. But I pulled in, and I saw all that going on. I'm like, you know what? Get the hell out of here. Go two blocks away where nothing's happening. Not a thing in the world. Pick up my stuff and leave. And it occurred to me later, I at least should have said, hey, is there anything I can do here? I'm sure they would have just said, no, get the hell out. But should have done something. And that's kind of my point about this whole deal. And we didn't talk about it much Friday because we still didn't have all the details. We didn't know everything. And I don't like getting into these topics unless I feel educated about them. And that's the thing. Watching the video struck me in so many ways because it's not just the three cops who didn't do anything. And they should be held accountable. They should be charged. And I hope they are. And the guy who did it is just a horrible human being. And I want to just mention this. I have a ton of respect for police officers. I've done ride-alongs. It's a scary job. You pull a car over at 2:30 in the morning where the windows are all tinted and you can't see a thing. You don't know if you've got an 80-year-old lady or a guy with an Uzi. And it can be scary. It's a tough job. This was not that. And that's the problem. And I do wish that more police officers would condemn their bad guys because they have them. We all have them. We have bad guys in radio. And we can make fun of them on air, and it's fine because that's what we do. So that's my only beef is I wish they would. But here's, and I don't know, we were talking about this earlier. The guy who recorded the video, they're treating him like he's a hero. A hero wouldn't have watched a man die and just recorded it. I'm sorry. And I'm not just blaming him. I'm blaming everybody there. Somebody should have done something. Somebody should have tried to pull that guy off. Stopping it is what makes you a hero. And you know what? That means risking your life or risking getting arrested to save somebody else's life. I mean, isn't that what heroes do? Well, what happened to those? I mean, we have people who do it. Where were they? Somebody could have saved this man's life. Could have, well, there was still going to be the backlash once that video got out. No question. But he could have saved a man's life. But who did? Certainly not the police officers and certainly none of the people around there. And there are people out there, and we have listeners like this because I know them. If they saw something like that, they'd try to stop it, even at their own risk. And why can't more of us be like that? It's just, you know, like, why am I just watching and just going on with my life? I think it's time that we all admitted we need to put ourselves in positions sometimes that might not be comfortable. And, guys, this is the worst time we're probably ever going to deal with in our life. It's going to define us. And so are we going to be defined by just sitting on high and watching, or are we going to take action? Man, we need more people to take action, good action. You know, not these rioters and not these fake rioters who are causing damage to try to co-opt the whole thing. You know, did you see the sheriff in Flint, Michigan? That's the kind of guy we need. And how about this, our own police chief? I mean, Art Acevedo has been a beacon in this. He's been a person who shined in the moment. And he came out and condemned those guys. Good for him. It's about time more people did. More police officers. And, you know, that's the thing. We need people who think about others and consider other people. Real leaders. Like, I think of these stupid televangelists that are all they're trying to do is get rich. When, you know what? They could actually make a difference. They could actually have a message. But no, I got to have another airplane. And I just thinking, obviously, all of us can't do everything. We can't. And, you know, I think, though, we could start with some little stuff. Like, how about this? Just a little challenge for everybody. You know, the next time you're going to do some parroted, hyperbole-driven rant on Twitter, just stop and think. How about the next time you're going to troll somebody? Just stop and think. And just ask yourself, is the world going to be better for what I'm about to do? Do we really need to make small issues life and death? I mean, like the whole political statement on whether you wear a mask. Is that really that important? And try to understand other people's perspectives. Try to understand what's going on instead of judging it. Ask questions. Embrace discourse, not discord. I mean, we got to make what's left of this world a better place. I mean, our economy's destroyed. It's going to get worse. I don't know what to tell you about that. I warned about this. Nobody listened. I don't care. The stupid virus is still out there. The whole world's falling apart before our eyes. And now we got this going on. And it's funny that Colin Kaepernick's popped up again through this. Because if you remember, his message was lost. It was turned into a controversy about the flag and the anthem. And this is what he was trying to stop. And now everybody else is trying to stop it. But then you get these false protesters. And everybody's doing something selfish. And it's going to fulfill their own agenda. Instead of stepping back and saying, why is this happening? Let's learn about each other. I mean, we all want the same things in life. I just want to be happy. I want to take care of my family. Make a good living. And it's easy to just sit on high and not get involved. Because, you know, I'm doing those things. But I also, you know, I think we all need to step back a little bit. Because, look, I don't know what it's like to be black. I don't know what it's like to fear cops. But you watch that video and you understand. And if you don't, you're not very sympathetic. And I think we can change, but it's got to start with us. And let's look at good examples. Let's talk about good examples, like our police chief. I mean, that's the kind of person that we need to be looking up to. Not our stupid politicians. Not religious leaders who are doing nothing. That's not who to look up to. I mean, let's look up to the people who are actually getting things done. And I go back to the Rona. And the guy, like the guy sitting next to me, Jerry Bowe. And all the things that he's done in the Rona. You guys don't know half the stuff that he's done to help people. And what was the first thing we talked about, Jerry? We talked about, hey, what can we do in this situation to make things better for people who are going to have problems? And we came up with some ideas and we did some stuff. And does that make us great people? No. But the whole thing was, what can we do for other people? How can we understand what they're going through? And that's what all of us need to start doing more of, me included. And we can be better. And we've got examples. So maybe we should start becoming the examples. And I know, you're talking about, those people there, you know, obviously they're not going to go after that police officer. That's a big, bad cop. He might hurt me. Yeah. Well, you know what? He might hurt me. But I'd rather have a meaningful death than a meaningless life. A lot more. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Windows.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Couple things. Everybody said it was the 17-year-old girl that shot the video. The guy I saw on TV, they said shot video. He wasn't a 17-year-old girl. Now, maybe that's the one that went viral. But there were other people there, man. That's my point. And so he says, so what if you run over and punch a cop and save the man's life? Now you're in jail for assaulting a policeman. But you know what? A human being is alive. And nobody says punch the cop. But how about go and try to pull him off?
8 minutes is a long time.
8 minutes. And you're sitting there and you're seeing the guy dying and you're saying the guy's dying and you don't do anything. You just stand there and say the guy's dying. At least I'm sure they tried to go to the other cops and say, will you guys please do something? And when they didn't, you got to go do it yourself. And I'm sorry. And somebody said, didn't you just say you didn't even offer to help at the gas station? Yeah, dickweed. What do you think I'm talking about? I said that was wrong. It's the whole point. So, you know, the thing is, like I said, there's a lot to this. And I just think that as the thing that can come out of this, we can get positives out of bad things. We see it all the time. We saw it during Harvey, especially here in Houston. We do a lot of positives after bad things. Let's try to start making some positives for what's left of this world, man. Because it's not going to be the same. And nobody gets it. Our economy's screwed, dude. We got 40 million people out of work. You think it's going to get more and more tense as things come up? You can't act like you've acted your entire life. It's got to change, man.
That's the thing, though. Where does it start? And I think that that's where people are searching for an answer. And that I think that's why people have. Now, I want to go ahead and put this disclaimer out. If you know anything that I'm about, not just what Fred's telling you, but there's so much things. There's people out there homeless that listen to our station that'll tell you, man, he puts food on my on wherever I'm at. He sent me he's out there. And whenever I went to, like, say, give the Big City Wings, I chose not because the doctors I have anything against them or the nurses or anything. I made sure that I went to the people in the back of the room, right? Because that's my objective in life, is to make sure that everyone is on an equal playing field. Okay, that being said, where do we go from now? What is the ultimate goal? What's the objective here, right? Because, yeah, we're going to say looting isn't bad, and I'm totally against that, and it never needed to be that. And once you start messing with small businesses, that's when I start jumping on things. That's when I start saying, all right, now's enough. And when is it enough? But when you see these figures like Killer Mike, or you see Bun B and all these big guys, what we call OGs, back in the day, those OGs, those guys that everyone listens to, and they tell you, hey, this isn't the way. This for sure isn't the way. We're not going to get anything done. But then what's the objective of those out there still looting and harming people? Do you think their objective is to prove that this killing was wrong? At that point, they're out for their own agenda. And that's another thing that's been thrown into this that I hate, because I've watched so much raw video of these, you know, the news stations that they have it. And I'm watching raw video, not what's on TV. And I started noticing other people doing things to start up ruckus. You would see an Hispanic guy. I was watching one, and there was a bunch of black guys sitting there talking to the cops, yelling, but peacefully with their hands up, down, whatever, saying, please don't shoot, I can't breathe, whatever they were saying, but they were doing it peacefully. Here comes a Hispanic guy coming down the wrong way of the street, and then all of a sudden, here come the cops. They have to stop that guy. What, you gonna let him go? So then all of a sudden they pull him out of the car, and now it looks like brutality again, and here comes a mob of people. Why is it that the agenda, or that what this is really about, what this is about, four cops, whoever was around that didn't do anything, and killing one man, and then this is a domino effect. Not one man, but this is for all the lives that have been lost through all the years. Yeah, whenever you have a pandemic going on and people have lost everything, you're going to get all hell broken loose. And that's what happens here. That's exactly what we're seeing. But where do we draw the line? Where do you make your point? We saw movie type. When have you seen someone take over a precinct and cops are running? When have you seen that? This was different. And I asked Fred today, I said, man, when was the last time that you've ever seen anything like this? And he said, the Rodney King, you know, that whole situation. And my first question was that anything like this? What was that like, Fred?
It was bad in Los Angeles. I mean, it was full on riots. It was. And that's another thing that bothers me is even, I don't even know what year that was now. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at all. The only difference was they didn't kill him. And yeah, Los Angeles was burning. There were famous, and it's not like it is now where everybody can take a video on their phone. And by the way, it wasn't just the people there. I've seen so much footage of people looting and stealing stuff from stores, and there's five people just sitting there with their phones recording it, which, hey, great. Why don't you maybe say, hey, don't do that? And yeah, Nick says, I think you're asking a lot. You know, you can get a lot of time for touching a cop. I just don't think what you're saying is realistic. Okay. Most people probably feel that way. I'm not going to touch a cop unless I have to. But if somebody's life is on the line in that situation, I'm sorry. Somebody has to do something. And by the way, if you're filming somebody looting, how about you call the cops over and point them out? I mean, doesn't that make you just as bad? Hey, look, this is cool. This guy's stealing vans. Ooh. Yeah.
That's the day and age we're living in, though.
I know it is, man. I'm just trying to get people to look at other people's perspective and try to be on the same page, man. Find some commonality.
And another thing, though, that happened here was people don't know how to differentiate sympathy and empathy. And there's a big difference. And at this point, if you think that feeling sorry and saying, man, that's what hurts a lot of, you know, I have a lot of black friends and I have, I mean, I've grown up around them. So I spoke to them, you know, and if I wait till something bad happens to have to start trying to do something, then I'm already behind in their book because they know they're behind in life as far as the way they're viewed, as far as what their rights are. And this just justifies that. So whenever something happens, that's why I'm not up here and by any means going to say, man, I'm going to speak for the black people right now because I can't do that. Or I can't say because I had HPD, literally. I told Fred, I don't know what's going on. If somebody would tell me in 2020, you're going to get messages in your inbox from HPD telling you, I need to use your voice. And I know he's listening right now, that certain HPD officer. And he said, I need you to use your voice because I know that you're connected to the community. And I want you to use your voice, but not to pass me as a messenger. I want to show face. I want to show face. And they got to see that I'm hurting, too, because it's not just me. It's a lot of us. And now I'm getting grouped into that. And for me, that was surreal. Not that I'm taking that side. Not that I'm taking this side. I'm in the middle, and I'm just trying to say we need to communicate. There has to be some communication, and it's not going to come by throwing bricks or going out there and hurting people. That's not the communication we're going to get. We're not ever going to come to an agreement. We're not going to ever find solutions. Unfortunately, life is about money and power, and if you can't put yourself in power, we got to teach these kids, the younger generation. Do we want them to see looting and breaking things so then in 10 years this happens again and then they go do that? Or do we want them to see, you know, all those seats up there? We need people of color. You want to make a difference? Go up there. Put yourself in a place of power so then 10 years from now you can make the call. You can call the shots. That's what we need, a starting point.
Yeah, and that texter brings up a really good point. We're just going to – it's – all right, if you're not going to stop it, why aren't you calling 911 saying you've got police officers here killing a black man in the street, your own officers, or get down here right now, or at least send an ambulance because this guy's going to need it?
Screaming.
Did anybody do that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If there were 911 calls, I'd like to know about it. But at least do that. At least, you know, start trying to help. That's all I'm saying. Start trying to make a difference instead of just being, oh, let's get our video up. Look at this.
That's the worst thing ever that happened to us, was the ability to be able to record live and then people eat it up. Like Lamont says, people are concerned about going viral than humanity. Just not even in this, just in life, when a sports moment happens, you're caught behind a phone, and I'm guilty of it. I'm caught behind a phone instead of soaking the moment in that predicament. You think, let's say there's no phones around, you're thinking of something else. I mean, I don't know. If you're not going to go push them, maybe go start getting a bigger crowd, make a lot of noise, go get some owners out, go get something needed to happen. 8 minutes, and I know it's easier said than done sitting on this side, and a lot of people are saying, man, then there would have been two dead guys. Well, then, hey, we wouldn't be here. Something's got to happen. It's on camera. And if you're not going to take the extreme there and say, hey, we're going to take you in strength of numbers, but then you're going to wait to go out on the street and do it in strength of numbers, then you got it backwards. You need to do it. It's a cause and effect. You need to be that. If you want to be a hero, you need to be that. This situation needs heroes, not social media. You know, people just posting hate things and posting this and posting more videos. Those are the guys that aren't even helping. We need people that are helping. We need solutions.
Well, and that was kind of my point. Let's start with social media. Why don't we do that? Why don't you just think before you tweet and don't feel like you have to respond to everything that somebody who feels differently than you do does. And, you know, let's stop being so, you know, single-minded and blanket statement guys about every issue, and let's look at the issue and let's see people as individuals. You know, the people there, those cops as individuals were horrible human beings, and bad cops tend to congregate with bad cops. But then you have people say, oh, well, all cops are bad. No, they're not. There's a lot of good ones out there. And you know what? They're people. And it's just like anything else in life. There's bad people in every business, and there's good people in every business. And it's just got to, the good people in the business have to start looking out and saying, hey, these bad guys, you got to stop this stuff. I mean, this guy had a whole bunch of excessive force complaints against him, and nothing ever came of it. That's one where somebody's got to say, you know, maybe this is a bad guy. All right, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We'll come back to this throughout the show if you want. I mean, it's up to you guys. I know there's a lot of this that's been going around. And, you know, people have been talking about it all day. So you guys may be sick of it. I don't know. If you're not, cool. But I did feel like we needed to get our point of view out there. And I mean, it's the most important thing that's going on right now. But we'll switch it up a little. We'll make it a little lighter when we come back. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about the tombstone. But I'm also going to share you a positive story because we need one in these times. And that's how to get your hair back. You go see my man, Dr. Linville. And I'm telling you, this process is fantastic. He takes the individual follicles from the back of your head and he transplants them to where you're thinning. He's back in business, so you can get it done. So if you're going to be home for a couple more months, this is the perfect time to do it. Look, I looked into a lot of stuff and I wasn't going to do anything. And then I met Dr. Linville. He explained the procedure to me and I did it and it was easy. And the great thing was, you know, after a couple months, I started having hair again. Now it's going really long and I look like a hobo, but that's a good thing. You could look better because you guys are handsomes. Go to 975hair.com. You can set up a consultation. You can do it virtually if you want. And he just wants to help people like you, like me, even himself, because he's had it done as well, and his hair looks fantastic. Go to 975hair.com today to get your virtual consultation. See my man, Dr. Linville. It is going to change your life for the better, and now is the perfect time to get it done. That's 975hair.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Go, go, Astro. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jerry Bowe filling in. And we'll mix it up a little bit. We can always get back to rioting and burning things down and the world ending. But we're going to have a little fun here. Jake Kaplan joins us from The Athletic, covers the Astros. And this started off where he called me for a story that he wrote today. And I'm still stunned that 15 years after we put a tombstone on the Astros, it's still a big deal. How's it going, Jake?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing a radio show. That's about it. But how did this idea come about to do this? Was it just, hey, it's a 15-year anniversary thing? And by the way, you did a great job on the story. Richard Justice and Jesus Ortiz both had some great stuff. Just well done. But how'd the idea come about?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for participating. You were also obviously a very prominent part of the story, so don't shortchange yourself there. But yeah, I don't honestly remember how it came across my radar that the anniversary was coming up. You know, I have been doing a lot of digging into, like, back into Astros history on, like, random stories you know, I mean, I don't have any games to write about right now, so trying to be creative and do different stuff. And it must have popped up on one of the Astros books that I'm reading or have read during quarantine or some website I was combing through. But once I saw it, I was like, oh, June 1st, that'll be a fun story to dive into for a round number anniversary, as we always like the round numbers.
Yeah, and there was some good stuff in there that I had forgot about. Like we a couple months later, we made fun of it with another cover, and Richard Justice finally outed me later in the season. All those were details that, to be honest with you, I didn't even remember.
Yeah, the illustrator was the one who told me about the rerunning of it with the lightning striking in mid July, and yeah, Richard immediately texted me his column. From October 2005, as soon as I told him I was going to write about this, and he had a lot of the stuff in there too. So the nice thing about this kind of thing is there's all these archives to dive back into, and you know, you can tell stories, learn a lot about the stories you're writing through, you know, just digging through the newspapers.
Jay Kaplan's our guest, covers the Astros for The Athletic, which if you have not checked out The Athletic, it's worth the money. And I got my subscription today, so I could read the article, but I've been using the company one for a while, so it's like, you know what, I can use my own. So, it's a really cool site. He does a great job. So what all are you doing right now? And, well, let's start with this before we get to what you're working on now besides stuff like this. But what are your thoughts? Are we going to have a baseball season? And we've got some betting people who listen to us, and we're betting people. What are the odds we actually have a season?
You know, my thoughts have changed in the last hour. Earlier today on our Astros podcast on The Athletic, I might have said 50-50. But there's a new report out from ESPN, Jeff Paston, who says that Major League Baseball isn't going to intend to propose a shorter season in which they would pay players their prorated salaries, which the salary component is the biggest obstacle. So, I think they'll haggle over the games and the schedule size, because the players' last proposal was like 114, and apparently, according to Paston, MLB's next proposal is going to be like 50-something games, so that's a huge gap. So we'll have to figure that out, but at least it's like, you know, a sign of some progress, and they're inching closer to a middle ground somewhere, it seems like.
I realize that it's your job to report on things. It's Jeff Paston's job to report on things. Do you think that, and maybe it's a bit of an ethical question, but considering everything that's going on in the world, I mean, maybe baseball should protect itself from itself and just shut up and get the negotiations done behind closed doors?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to ask about that, because that would, you know, if as reporters, we're out here trying to find out what's going on to educate everyone else. I think in these cases, it's been very public, obviously, and I think that's kind of by design, right? Each side wants to make sure the public knows where they stand, and so that people can properly judge, you know, how to assign blame, I guess, if it doesn't work out in a way. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's normal for negotiations between a league and a players association. I think it's just heightened because of the short time frame they have here to actually get a deal done.
Yeah, it strikes me as really difficult for guys who cover a sport to not be going after all this stuff and using their sources to get it. But boy, it just seems like baseball's doing everything it can to alienate people at the worst possible time. And that's how negotiations always go. But it's just kind of an awkward situation. So I was just kind of curious. So what are you doing now in terms of getting ready for the season? When we talked, you think if there is a season, there'll be home games. So I assume you'll be doing that. But what are you working on right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of still all over the place in terms of some projects that don't relate to 2020, whether they're stuff that happened in the past or just like stories about certain players. I'm hoping that, once they announce, hopefully, that the season's coming back, then it'll shift right quickly back into gear of, all right, who's going to be on the hypothetical 30-man roster and what's the status of Justin Verlander and all that stuff. But until there's more clarity on whether there's going to be a season, I've mostly been focusing on kind of off the beaten path stuff like newspaper graphics from 2005 and just random stuff here and there, fun stories I found along the way just from either making calls or just digging through some old stuff.
Does this really benefit the Astros? Because Verlander would not have been ready. And Lance McCullers now, maybe he doesn't have to be on a pitch count. Is this actually a shorter season, a positive for them?
I don't know. I think we're going to see around baseball and probably sports in general, as these leagues ramp up, new injuries, right? It's hard if they're talking about having a 3-week spring training after a 3-month layoff, that does not seem like... Like, I know there's a time crunch, but that does not seem like enough. You're going to have new injuries. Who knows how certain players are going to perform after the layoff. It's not an easy thing to do. There's going to be expanded playoffs, most likely. That hurts the Astros from an odd standpoint, given that they were a division favorite. So, yeah, I mean, you could argue that, yeah, the Verlander factor, sure, but we're gonna have to wait to see how it plays out with, like, what the status of everyone is once the players report back to the camps.
Jake Kaplan's been our guest. Jake, I know you got a very popular podcast in addition to writing for The Athletic. Tell the people how they can jump in on that.
Yeah, thanks. We launched it on March 3rd, so we've had great timing here with having so much baseball to talk about. But, yeah, it's called The Crawford Talks. It's on The Athletic's podcast network. You can get to it on Apple, Spotify, all the regular podcast places. And if you're having trouble finding it, just look at my Twitter feed or go on theathletic.com. But it should pop up on Apple if you search it there.
Yeah, you could follow him on Twitter at Jake M. Kaplan with a K. And, Jake, hopefully when baseball's back, we'll have you on again, and we can talk about the actual game.
Yeah, sounds good. And thanks for having me on, and happy tombstone anniversary to you, Fred.
Thanks. The same to you, my friend. All right, that's Jake Kaplan. And, it's funny because after Jake wrote his story, Josh emailed me and said, hey, man, why don't you write about the whole behind-the-scenes thing for Sports Map? And I'm kind of like, God, I feel like I just did that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So it's the third time I've written the story, I think, in differing forms, but it will be on Sports Map if it's not already. I haven't had a chance to check it yet. But yeah, so I kind of gave a behind-the-scenes look at how it actually happened and what the thought process was and how I almost pulled the plug at one point during the night because I had so many people on staff who didn't want to do it. So that'll hit Sports Map here probably tonight since it's the anniversary.
Seems like a lifetime ago, right?
God, it does. And, you know, I talked with Jesus Ortiz a little bit today. We texted back and forth and just because we hadn't chatted in a while. And it was a different life. And when I was writing the thing, it was almost like writing somebody else's biography. Because I've been so removed from that life. I left the Chronicle in 2007. And that's 13 freaking years now that I've been out of that and been onto something totally different. And, you know, even as old as I am and having done that, been in that business for 20 years, it just doesn't even feel like the same person. I don't feel like the guy who did all that. It was almost like writing somebody else's biography. But then today after I talked to Jake when he interviewed me last week and then talking to Jesus a little bit, it's amazing with how much clarity I remembered that entire day of how it came about. And so that's what the story will be about. It's got some fun stories. Might ask, was the Astros organization mad at you about the tombstone write-up? I can tell you that Drayton was not happy. But Drayton was never happy with anything that I was involved in.
Man, those 100 lost seasons, I would just bet the hell out of against the Astros. Just boom, boom. And then whenever they started winning, I was still a season behind. I'm like, no, they're going to go back to the old Astros ways. I know. And here I am now. I'm scared to bet against them.
Yeah, I'll never tell you this because you bet everything, but don't bet baseball. But Drayton didn't like it. Lance Berkman called me an idiot. But one of the things I put in the story that was 100% true, my proudest moment as a sports editor was watching the World Series on Fox, and there's my front page on Fox. And they're talking about it and all this, and like millions of people. And I mean, when you think about an unknown sports editor guy, that the only people that know him are in the business, to have his front page on Fox during the World Series, that was a rush, man. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975.
You
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number is 713-780-3776. Jerry Bowe filling in. And, you know, we hit that pretty hard the first half hour. We'll pop in here and there with it moving forward, but we're going to get on to some other stuff. But if you guys want to talk about that, you know, hit us up with some great texts or some good tweets, some good questions, some good discussion. And a lot of people saying, well, if we didn't have those videos, then we wouldn't know about this, which is true. But if you're at a scene and you look around and 10 other people are recording it and nobody's doing anything, my whole point was, look, I blame myself. I sit on the sidelines. I sit on my balcony in my nice house and drink my nice beer, and I don't, you know, because it doesn't impact me, right? And that was my whole point. And, like, I didn't even offer to help the other night. I mean, obviously, there wasn't anything I could do, but the right thing to do was stop and say, hey, do you guys, is there anything I can do as a concerned citizen? And they would have told me to get the hell out of here. That's probably the smartest thing. But that's all right. I mean, to me, those are changes I can make. And I want to be the person that if something's happening, I'm not going to be the if you see something, say something guy. I'm going to be the if you see something, do something guy. And that's I think we all need to look at ourselves and find ways to change to make things better, because it's not happening. That's all. And I'm not saying never record the thing either. I'm just saying if there's 8 other people, like this one video I saw, there's like 7 people recording the looters. Okay, guess what? That's enough.
Well, the guy texted you and he said it wasn't him filming, it was the girl filming. Well, then that's hands-free. The guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even more of a reason to do it.
But
again, it's every situation is going to be different. Of course, yes, we want it on phone, and maybe that's why a lot of murders they might have got away with it, these injustices that have been happening over the years. Nobody's recording. Okay, just another dead body. Whatever the report says is whatever it is. But times are changing. People have to be held accountable, and that's what's going on here. Now, on both sides, though, if you want to, by the time you get down to protest and you start breaking things and yelling in these officers' face, no communication's made at that point. The communication is stopped. If you want your voice to be heard, this has to be done on a platform. Unfortunately, it has to be done that way. But you see these guys, Bun B, like I said, I'll bring him up again. They are telling you, this is not the way. Let's do this right. We have power. Remember I said money and power? Unfortunately, it is that. Those guys, they got a little bit of both, and they're using it. So use the guys that are on the front lines, Trey, all those guys that stand up and say, hey, we're here, and we're not going anywhere. Whether it's Minneapolis, Houston, we're going to walk with them. And that's what you're looking for right now. Solutions, not more people throwing in problems.
Well, and, you know, it's time to do it. You know, one of the things that I kind of want to turn the page here a little bit, but not that this is any more uplifting. But I don't know if you guys saw the Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. Man. It goes to show how if you're rich, you could get away with anything. I mean, this guy was basically for 10 years, the whole thing. Well, and most people know the story now. I'd never heard of him until this came up recently, but he was basically going and having his girlfriend bird dog for him to get these 15-year-old girls and bring them in to give him a massage, and he'd pay him $200 and then it would turn into something else. And then he would get the girls to go get more girls. It's a fascinating documentary. There's one thing about it that I found a little disconcerting in terms of how it was put together. In that, you know, they were really trying hard to show the women's perspective, but they did so many interviews that all sounded like they were coached by lawyers that it hurt the credibility of some of their stories. Like, one girl basically brought in 40 other girls and got paid for them and tried to paint herself as a victim. What about what you did to those other 40 girls? So I wish they had done a better job with those interviews, because there were too many and they all sounded exactly the same and they all told the exact same story. And they all used the buzzwords that their lawyers had obviously told them. And I really think that it hurt their credibility. I'd be curious if anybody else seen it thought the whole thing.
And, you know, I was using the word accountability, or, you know, and just what no one along the line saw this man acting funny. You know, someone saw this, and now you see stories of Bill Clinton. He spent time on Orgy Island, and now there he's trying to say that it was at a different time, and that's not even from him admitting it first. It was from somebody on that island saying, yeah, Bill Clinton was at a drinking with him on, I believe they said, like, beachside or something.
Well, it was a guy who worked there, and they interviewed him in this documentary. He said, oh, yeah, I saw Bill Clinton there. And one of the girls is the one that claimed to hook up with Prince Andrew. And, again, I thought her story was a little iffy. So I don't – because she went out of her way to mention him and Alan Dershowitz. And I her credibility was a little shaky with me, so I don't know. But it's not going to surprise me. There's pictures of Prince Andrew with her. And I will also say this. Man, most of those girls have really aged since this happened. I mean, a lot. So it obviously was an ordeal. But, I mean, what a turd that guy was. But it just goes to show, if you're that rich, do whatever the hell you want.
Scary.
And he got away with it for a long time. So, hey, Fred, I don't think you should get an altercation before you get a haircut. That hair might get in your way. Hashtag barbershop from Chuck. I'm liking the hair. Yeah, 409 brings up something that I wanted to get to. Because the one positive to the weekend, well, besides the great Falcon 9 beer at True Anomaly, which a lot of people tweeted me with drinking theirs, and great response to that, by the way. But I don't know how you guys felt about this. I suspect I know how Aaron felt. When the SpaceX launch on Saturday happened, I admit I got a little emotional. It was one positive thing in this whole crap world that we have right now. And I have to tell you, I was so scared something was going to go wrong. Just because the way this whole year has gone, I thought, man, if there's some kind of disaster here, it's going to be terrible. But it wasn't. And it was almost flawless.
Especially with AC/DC playing.
Yeah, and then the docking later the next morning went off without a hitch. And there, it really is an important step because, you know, the long-term goal is to build a base on the moon or even get to Mars and build a base there. All the stuff we see in science fiction right now is on the table. And getting back to space is, you know, when we had the guest on last week, it's when I was a kid, those guys were rock stars. Now, a lot of Bob and Doug jokes, obviously. But Aaron, did you feel that way about it?
Oh yeah. I had goosebumps the whole time. I got not like crying emotional, but my wife did. She definitely was like crying tears of joy because
that's her teen.
I mean, she went to school knowing she wanted to do this and she was 10 years old. She tried and planned her entire senior spring break of college around going to see one of the last, I think it was like the third to last shuttle launch. And it got scrubbed because of weather and they couldn't do it the entire week. So she, you know, has always been hopeful that it was going to happen again. But for the longest time, from administration to administration, people don't know this, when a new president takes over, they decide what the hell NASA does. And they can start from scratch or they can keep on what everybody else was doing before them. And every time there's a new election, it's, oh, crap, what is this guy going to do? Is he going to say, screw this, we're going to focus on what I want to? Or are you going to keep going with what we need to do and try to get Americans back up on American soil?
Yeah, it's funny because talking to Duck and those guys at True Anomaly, yeah, it's been fun learning so much about how NASA operates. And they basically say, yeah, it goes from president to president. And you know, those guys all work there. Some of them still do. And it's just, and it was really awesome. Well, it's awesome that we were able to get the beer to tie to that. But it was more awesome to just see how excited he was on Wednesday when it was supposed to happen then. Because I imagine for all those guys to get a manned space crew back up there, it was and maybe I just got caught up in it because I've been getting back into it. And, you know, like I said, we had a guest on and I've been talking to those guys so much and the beer was tied to it. But it really was uplifting and encouraging. And then, of course, I get on Twitter and it's, why are they spending money on this?
That's the same thing I saw. But it was for the first time in years, I got that weird feeling in my stomach that you had when you were a kid and you saw that, you know, you saw the lift off. And I like the view you get once they're up in the air and then you could see, you know, the glow or the world, you know. And I said, the only person taking a loss today is Flat Earth guy. You know, because you saw the rounded, right? You saw that it wasn't flat when they went up.
You know what? Flat Earth guy.
He took a loss.
Didn't land on the moon guy. They don't care. They're never going to change. You know what I can't wait for is when we do get back to the moon and they find all the crap from the original missions and show people, hey, they were here. Then it'll be, oh, no, they took that with them. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.